Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program today. My guest is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes talking to us from his office today, and we'd love to have your questions for him during our next half hour. You can always email those to us. ask@wbaa.org is our email address, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, happy holidays. Good to talk to you as always.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Stan. It's good to be with you today.
And I want to get right to the questions because we've got a lot that we want to make sure we get through. We are getting to the time of the year where the weather's getting colder. People might need to start looking for places to stay warm. What sorts of resources does Frankfort have for the upcoming obvious inclement weather?
Well, we have a great network of local churches. I know my particular church that my wife and I attend and are members of, St. Matthew United Methodist Church. We do offer poor relief if an individual is in a tight spot and needs to get out of the weather for a short-term period of time. They can always approach the office at St. Matthew United Methodist Church. We put people up in local motels until a more permanent solution can be found. I also encourage people, the Salvation Army and Steve Teagarden. Steve has actually built a beautiful home right on Washington Street next to the Salvation Army that houses people on a short-term basis to get them out of the cold. And then also, of course, Area 4, which is located here at Old Stoney, offers assistance for those that are struggling, sometimes no fault of their own, to keep their electricity running, to keep their homes warm. One thing that I think we need to do a better job of, and our Center Township trustee, Kevin Evans, is really leading the way on this, I think we need to do a better job, Stan, of getting around the table with not only our township trustee, which, you know, that mechanism of government is built to help those individuals that are down on their luck, that do need some poor relief, to see what kind of resources we can help leverage from his department and his governmental entity, and also combine those with what our county officials can do. You know, I often look at the Parkview Home, a beautiful county-run facility that gives people help and houses them for longer periods of time. And one thought would be is there any way that we as the city of Frankfort, Center Township, Clinton County could all partner together to utilize an existing space to give more of a permanent homeless shelter in the community that could allow people to always have a safe and warm space to turn to. These are conversations that have been ongoing, but I would definitely like to keep them open and stay progressive when it comes to this topic because it's something that we need to stay ahead of the curve on.
With respect to homelessness, January is the month that every year that the point-in-time homeless counts are done. In advance of that, do you have any sense of what those numbers might be for Frankfort? I'm sure that's something that gets thought about as the weather gets colder every winter.
I don't, Stan. I would like to see. It would be nice to have some data. Normally, these people are known of just because people see them out and about. We had an individual here about a year ago that was living in the downtown, and our local economic development director, Shan Sheridan, bless his heart, intervened and was able to pool resources and give that individual housing and shelter. Being a smaller community, word gets around and we're able to help people. But I have no doubt there's individuals out there that are flying under the radar that people don't know about. And that's why I believe it's very important that Center Township, the city of Frankfort, Clinton County, we all come together and figure out a long-term solution to this problem that inevitably in society it's always going to be here. But those resources that I just mentioned, the Salvation Army, St. Matthew United Methodist Church, these are places that if you're in a pinch, Area 4 located here in Old Stoney, if you're in a pinch, seek these resources out and we will get you the help that you need.
We talked on the last couple of months' programs about an audit by the State Board of Accounts of your Parks Department. You also had the State Board of Accounts in for a kind of standard audit of the city's finances recently. I wondered if they had occasion while they were in to give you any sort of update on how the Parks Department one was going, whether they might have results from that sometime soon. Do you have any sort of an update?
I do, yes. We had our exit interview with our State Board of Account examiner just this past week. They informed us that the state will not be releasing their report until approximately the end of January. It has to go through certain channels on their side. Of course, I respect that. One thing that we as a city will be able to do is to release a response to what the State Board of Accounts reports, and we plan on doing that. That is in the process of being drafted. As soon as we are legally able to release that document, we will, and everything that we have stated within that document and are going to say can be backed up through fact, interview, evidence found. I firmly stand behind the decision that was made, and corrective actions were taken immediately to contain the situation. And now we're looking at ways to even increase our level of internal controls to make certain that we're doing absolutely everything in our power to make sure that department heads understand the gravity of these situations, and whether it be donations to the park or monies paid for a gun permit, that those receipts are made in a timely manner to our clerk treasurer's department. They're accounted for properly. Those monies are being secured, and the people's money is being handled properly. And that is exactly why I refused to brush this under the rug. It's nothing that we wanted to face, but we found it. We called it what it was. We followed our protocol as set forth by the City Council. We reported it to the State Board of Accounts. And soon all of this information will be public. And I believe that once the public reads the evidence and reads our response and what will be on Gateway, the city's decision will very much be vindicated.
You mentioned you were drafting a response to the State Board of Accounts report. I got to ask, how are you drafting a response to a report that you won't see for another month?
Well, within the exit interview, the State Board of Accounts shared with us the body of work that will be in their report. We weren't able to keep a copy of that, but they did share with us their rough draft. So we have seen more or less the things that will be said. We're not at liberty by law to disclose any of that, but they do that out of courtesy, and then that gives us the ability to think forward and start drafting a response so our response can be timely when they post their document to the Gateway system that's available to any and all out there in the public.
I understand you may not be able to talk about specifics from that exit interview, but let me ask you this. Did you find that there were any inaccuracies in what you thought that they were saying, or did you find that their findings were commensurate with what you believe you found when the city did its own investigation?
I think the State Board of Accounts did a fine job. I do. You know, a lot of what was done in cash. I can say that. So, unfortunately, not a lot can be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt when things are done in cash. But the public perception is when things are not being done above board, when transparency is not taking place, when employees are being told to do things incorrectly by a director, that's a very, very, very serious issue that, you know, nothing hits closer to home with me than that. And that is why we took the swift and stern actions that we carried out. I believe the State Board of Accounts, their report will show that. And, of course, we will reply to that. And, again, when people understand the facts of the matter, not rumors that float around on social media, taking emotion out of it and looking at evidence and looking at facts, the decision will be vindicated, and I hope the community sees that this administration, when we come across something, we're going to root it out, we're going to call it what it is, and we're going to fix it.
So it doesn't sound to me like you have too many big material objections to what you heard in that exit interview.
I don't.
Okay. Let's move on. I want to talk about something that your utility service board heard recently at a meeting, and that's that there is some problems with one of your kind of aging water filtration plants. And the report was that either retrofitting another one to handle the increased flow that's been handled by the other one and then tearing that one down could cost you something like almost $3 million. And you and I have talked a lot in recent months about your city's utilities. It seems like this is just another in a year of the hits keeping coming on your utilities front.
Well, yes, most definitely. But, you know, as much of the country, you know, and you saw this in Michigan recently, and that situation led to a nationwide outcry strictly scrutinizing infrastructure, especially when it comes to utility infrastructure. I think this is another example of, over the course of many, many years in many smaller communities, simply proper planning hasn't been put in place to make sure that upgrades and improvements and progress has been made when it comes to utility infrastructure. We know this. Without our utilities, without Frankfort Municipal Utilities, our ability to produce, you know, close to 9 million gallons of water a day, and our ability to dispose properly of wastewater at the rate that we do, without our ability to provide very, very competitive electric rates, our industrial park wouldn't be existent today. Without that industrial park, there goes our assessed value. Our assessed value drops by hundreds of millions of dollars, and the tax rate on John Q. Citizen skyrockets. So although we look at this, and yes, that's a big number, I believe it's necessary. It's necessary from a couple different perspectives. Number one, the plant on McKinley, I would be embarrassed. I would be embarrassed to take a customer through that plant saying, this is where you're getting your water. It's a problem. And I think the most efficient way to go about this is to decommission that plant. The plant on Armstrong is practically brand new. It was built with the ability to add more wells to it so we could supply even more water, if need be, to the industrial park, centralize our location of providing good, clean water for not only our industrial park but for our city. And although it is a striking investment up front, over the long term, I think it ensures that we have the ability to provide the water that we need to continue to attract investment here, which will continue to attract new jobs, which will continue to increase our assessed value, which will ultimately stabilize tax rates for everyone that calls Frankfort home. We've got some work in front of us, not only on the water side, but the wastewater side. I'm just glad we have a utility service board that's looking into the future and planning and being proactive as opposed to being reactive.
So two things. One, where are you going to find the money that's going to cost? And two, if you are centralizing your water filtration to one facility, what happens when you have, for instance, a large rainstorm and you've got a lot more wastewater going into your city's sewers? Now it's harder to separate that out to several facilities, and the one has to be willing to be able to handle that much flow. It seems like you would need multiple facilities if you are ever to, for instance, grow your industrial park or grow your citizen base. Aren't you going to need at some point to replace that facility with something that enables you to spread out the responsibility for filtering all of that water?
So a couple different points that we can discuss here. Let's focus on the finances first. If you compare our water rates and what people are paying in Frankfort from an industrial standpoint, commercial and residential, and you stack those up with what people are paying around this region, even Lafayette, cities like Anderson, we are very, very, very much below what those rates are. So we have managed to keep our rates affordable over a period of time in comparison with surrounding cities whom we compete with for industrial development and residential development. So, yes, I mean, a project of this magnitude would probably take a bond issuance. It would take a financing mechanism, which would probably then call into account a cost of services study. And what that cost of services study would tell us is how we would effectively adjust rates in order to finance such a project. And what we would do then is we would look at where those rates would go to. And, you know, I think, again, I think it's important that we stay competitive. And what I would like to see is I would like for us to, as we are today, be well underneath surrounding communities with what people pay for water. And if we're able to expand our ability to provide more water to industry while at the same time keeping our rates competitive, then that's a win-win situation. So that's the financing side of it. In terms of the wastewater side, the stormwater side, this is why the wastewater treatment plant expansion is so important. You know, right now, when we get a heavy rain, and you and I have talked about this before, we're at a 90-95% capacity on our wastewater treatment plant. And so this is a completely different project where we need to double the plant capacity size of our wastewater treatment plant. And we're talking about doing this in conjunction with Clinton County and working with our county government so that we can get infrastructure out to the interstate, not only to provide wastewater discharge out at the interstate, but also we can produce water out at the interstate to open up economic development opportunities there. So in terms of stormwater drainage, that's a separate project. In terms of providing water and the amount of aquifer and wells that we have to draw from in scrapping the McKinley plant and upgrading the Armstrong plant, I believe that's the right move. And when all is said and done on both sides of financing, even though there will be rate adjustments, I still believe we will be well beneath what our competitors in this region and around this part of the state charge industrial clients and residential clients for those same services.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, and if you've got a question for him, email that to ask@wbaa.org or tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. I wanted to talk to you about something that Frankfort High School is doing. They're getting set to implement a random drug testing program for students. We've talked a lot with all of you mayors on this program about the state's drug problems, and of course that extends down, unfortunately, into our schools across the state. What is your opinion on the high school starting such a program?
I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing for student athletes, especially. If you're going to be representing our school on an athletic team, I'm all about accountability. And I believe if those students know that there is that opportunity for accountability there, it might thwart an otherwise bad decision being made. So, you know, I'm not a parent, but if I was a parent, I would be all for it. I would be all for it as a parent. You know, children these days are faced with decisions, that are even much different than the decisions I was faced with 10 years ago. And there is no doubt about it that we have a crisis on our hands, and, we must start thinking differently. Now, is this the complete answer to the problem? No, definitely not. I think we need more mental rehabilitation services in rural communities. I think we need more inpatient services in communities, smaller communities, that people that are addicted can go and receive help. I very much believe that with individuals that this is an illness, that they do not necessarily choose this. They don't want this in their life, but it's proven there are environmental triggers and there are physiological triggers that drive people down these paths. It would be my hope of the schools that if they're going to deploy a program such as this and if a positive result would come back, that the student is not just disciplined, but we get that student the help they need and surround them with loving support in order to help them battle a potential addiction in their life. That needs to be a part of the program. You can't police your way out of this. You can't discipline your way out of this. If you're going to test, that's fine. But if a positive test result comes back, the school corporation, and they might very well have, they need to have a program in place that helps guide that student to a loving, nurturing situation that gets the family involved, that if they're a faith-based family, gets the faith aspect involved in order to help them recover to become successful, happy, and healthy individuals. And that would be an expectation of mine, not only as mayor, but as a citizen of this community.
Let me ask you about a couple of things, one of them sort of demographic and one of them sort of mathematical. In terms of making something truly random, that can actually be a hard thing to do. And we have talked about the demographics of your city. And, you know, like it or not, there is a dynamic within your city. And I know from talking to people who are graduates and even current students of Frankfort High School that there is some sort of separation between the white students and the Latino students at Frankfort High School in some cases. It strikes me that if somehow there's a disproportionate number of, say, Latino students who are getting quote-unquote randomly tested, that can cause some problems. How do you ensure, if at all, that this is in fact a random sampling of the people in the school?
Well, that would definitely be something that the school corporation would have to address. I certainly have no authority over that whatsoever. I can tell you that our random drug testing for employees in the city is independently done by a third party. It's computer generated. It's absolutely randomized. And let me tell you this, you know, I'm around our students a lot because I help lead a group called the Frankfort Future Leaders Advisory Council, and we have young people on that council of all different types of ethnicities and races, and I have not personally ever seen any individual treat someone differently because of their background, their race, or their ethnicity from what I've seen as I've interacted with our students. But in terms of your question, that would definitely be something that the administration would have to address. And from what I know of our administration and the character of the men and the women that are associated with this, I do not see that taking place. And ultimately, just as we handle random employee drug tests here in the city of Frankfort as a part of our workman's compensation protocol, so on and so forth, most of these things are done in a completely randomized fashion through a computer-generated program. And I'm certain that if the school was pressed on that, it's probably a similar situation.
Let me spend our last few minutes with you just kind of heading up all of the things that we've talked about over the course of the last year or so. I would like it if you would please think for me about what you would qualify as your greatest success and perhaps your biggest failure in the last 12 months. And I'll say it doesn't even necessarily have to be as the mayor of Frankfort. What I'm curious at, what do you, Chris McBarnes, think of when I say, what was your biggest success of the last 12 months and what was your biggest failure of the last 12 months?
Biggest failure of the last 12 months of my life is definitely balancing work and personal life. For example, right now, my grandfather's 96 years of age, and he's undergoing hospice care, and I love my grandpa. My grandpa's my hero, World War II veteran. Like he's an icon in my eyes. And I think as a young person, I get so wrapped up in my job because I love my job and I take my job so seriously. But, you know, there's a fine line you have to walk there. And in order to be the best mayor that I can be, I've got to make certain that I'm taking time, that when I'm home, I'm truly present with my beautiful wife, that I'm not on my phone, that I'm not always on my email, that I really take the time when I'm in a conversation with my grandpa to be thinking about that, not the negative things that are being said on Facebook. That's something I'm continuing to grow with, Stan, and it's something I'm trying to do a better job. And for me personally, it's leaning back on my faith, and I want to do a better job of handling and balancing those things. Something that I've done well, I've managed to put people around the table and around the team of people I have that are much smarter than me. I have a team of people that are head above heels, good people that I can learn from, that I can grow with, and that teach me things about business, managing budgets, overseeing projects each and every single day. And, you know, the last thing I would say is this, something I want to get better at. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't agree with the things that we're doing. You know, look at everything we went through with the Historic Preservation Commission, all the turmoil that went along with all that. You know, I want those people to know that just because they're on the other side of an opinion, I love them. They're valued people in this community, and I want to work with them to make this community a better place. So that's something else personally that I'm working on, and I can't wait to see what Frankfort has in store for its future. I think we have good things to come.
What sorts of priorities do you have on your plate or in your head for 2018 that maybe you weren't thinking as much about when this year started for the city?
Project Home Run in Prairie Creek Park. We are going to build a city that people want to move their families back to. I want to see a city that has new residential subdevelopment. I want to see a city that has a better housing stock for middle-class income earners, upper-class income earners, you know, the CEOs in our industrial park, doctors, lawyers. I want them to move here to Frankfort. I want them to raise their kids here and put their kids through our school systems. And I think amenities like Prairie Creek Park and Project Home Run, you know, we have already raised close to $800,000 from the private sector for those two projects. So I've got a goal of $3 million. I believe those projects are going to provide a renaissance in Frankfort. There's going to be a lot of negativity surrounding it, but you know what? We're going to push through the small town mentality of let's just pave a few streets here and paint a wall here or there and replace a police car and that's good enough. You know what? No, that's not good enough. We're reaching for something higher, something better, something greater, and Frankfort is going to be back on the map. And I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to do my small part to help get that done.
So in just our last minute or so, you're about halfway through now your second term in office, and you've talked fairly assuredly on this program and in other places about, you know, kind of being a two-term mayor. There's still a lot to do. You're still, in the midst of a lot of things. Are you at all reconsidering what happens in 2019?
I never thought I'd say this, but sure I am. You know, sure I am. I never thought I'd say this. Yeah, to be honest with you, I've put together my first resume that I've ever put together because, you know, my hiring processes were a little different than someone coming out of college. But, you know, my heart's open. I'm being approached by so many different people in this community, and I think it's incumbent upon me to continue to pray about it. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm going to do it. I might be calling you and, hey, I think, you know, McBarnes and Stan, hey, we could really put some pressure on future mayors. You and I would really know the questions to ask. So maybe if I get out of this line of work, we can do that one day. But, you know, Stan, never say never. I'm praying about it. I will have peace where God wants me to go. He'll put me there.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. Happy holidays from all of us here at WBAA to you and yours. And we look forward to doing this again next year.
All right, buddy. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can find all of these programs archived at our website, WBAA.org, and listen at this time next week for our conversation with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Martin. This has been Ask the Mayor. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.